Welcome, everybody. Good to see you all. Last week, one of our good students, which I have the zechut to know his name, asked a very important question, a very good question. And in all sincerity, this question haunted me the whole week. And in all sincerity, and I can call you a very serious student because you haven't missed classes, as far as I remember, and you're continuously coming and dealing with ideas that in some regards you have to tackle. And that reminds me to bring you another book. Excuse me for a second. The question that gentleman asked us is that I understand that I have to bound myself to the Kedushah, to holiness, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah, to godliness, to truth, to emet. That I understand and I identify. But to connect myself to a tzaddik, that is not digestible to me. Am I quoting you correctly?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about it all week too. Because it seems that we have to diminish ourselves and lower ourselves, but yet we have to look up to a tzaddik, which to me is a very Christian approach to life, and that's Jewish at all.
So, the idea of connecting to a tzaddik, it's strange to you. Let's say it's strange to you. And this brought me to a question that why a person should think this way. And I give immediately credit. Because we don't know what tzaddik is. Because honestly we don't know what tzaddik is. And since we don't know, identifying with it makes it difficult. Forget about what I have written here. We will get there. Otherwise I'll turn it around if I see too many eyes and not paying attention. I would like you to consider the world that we are in. The world that we are living is a world called the world of Takela. And now what is Takela stands for? To tackle. And it's strangely in English is to tackle. Now what means tackle? Has a lot of points in this world. In this world you find obstacles. It's impossible with no obstacles. Hindrance, fault, hitch, hurdle, mishap. Jam, mischance, accident, incident, misfortune. All this that I told you is part of this life. Full of it. Every day. And if I pay attention every day, I gotta deal with those hindrance life. Why? There must be so much problem. Even though that I want to be good, and I want to go the way of righteousness, there's nothing wrong with that. Because my God wants me to become tzaddik, and I realize to become tzaddik is good idea, and I want to become tzaddik. I want to become a righteous person. I said, let me leave, and I let you leave. Just leave me alone. Don't bother me. But this world says, no, even though you want to become tzaddik, the system says, even though you want to be a good person, still you're going to have hindrance, obstacles, faults, and incidents, and misfortune. Why? And this is appropriate for this month, especially for a Gemini. especially for a Gemini, because Gemini comes to a point, Gemini is very smart. The character moves in Gemini, very flexible. But that flexibility, if it doesn't have a direction, if it doesn't have a goal, it becomes absolutely waste, total waste. We can waste ourselves as of now. We received the Torah. Hashem gave us an energy, a light that I can benefit from and make out of myself a new person. And we said this new person is got to have what characteristic? It says, for a person to receive the Torah, to receive the Torah, to receive the energy of Torah, requires to have two things. One, Yirat Hashem, that means fear of God, fear of doing things that puts distance between me and Kedusha and the truth, separating me from Kedusha, from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And anava is that when I become anav. Now, what is anav? We said modesty. Now, we want to discuss first modesty, because until such a time I do not become modest, I will not receive this chokhmah of Torah. The Torah will not reside within me until I become modest. That's the rule. I cannot use it. I cannot utilize the energy of Torah that I have received. Exactly like Shabbat. If a person who is a rasha, who is not a good person, can come to Shabbat, does he receive the energy of Shabbat?
Yes.
Absolutely yes. The guy that was in the Midbar, in the desert with all the Jews, and God gave man, did he give to the rasha man too?
Yes.
So God, the nature, gives, irrelevant of whether you are good and bad, it's going to give you to survive and to do good, and will do you good. But the nature has rules and regulation. You go out of boundary of nature, the nature is going to punish you. That's the rules of a nature. You cannot break the rule of nature unless you are capable to go above the nature, above the rules of nature. That means not the nature to makif you, to surround you, to control you, but you to makif, to surround the energy of nature within you. You control the nature. Is that possible? I want to tell you yes. I want to tell you that mind is going to control the matter, and the matter is embedded into nature. But however, we have right now with the science a problem. The Torah says 5,600 years. The science says, what are you talking about? We are talking about billion years. What is this difference? Is there a difference here? No. It's really not. We said originally God created four yesodot, four elements, the whole world. The yesod of fire, yesod of air, yesod of earth, and yesod of water. Whatever God created was good. But when Adam came into the existence, had the power to influence the nature. Originally, man was in control of nature. And when man was in control of nature, and this was the time of the Torah talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the man became so bad, so much against the nature and against the goodness, and so much far away from holiness, that influenced the animals on the earth. That means, does rooster goes after the pig? Is the dog goes after a lamb?
No.
Why not? Is a man goes after a dog? Yes. Is a man goes after a donkey?
What purpose?
Sex.
No.
I know you're not kids, but tonight I'm going to take you to see what kind of creatures we are. And how we are dependent on what to what we are dependent, how vulnerable we are. And we think of ourselves great thinkers and philosophers and inventors. But follow. It's very important because the parasha of this week is the parasha of Menorah. Light. Or parasha of man. Vayibin soa Aaron. Vayomer kuma Adonai. Vayafutsu oivecha vayanusu mesanecha mipanecha. Veshavu revavot alfei Israel. What that means. And then in the Torah there is two nun. Hafuch, that means inverted. What the Torah is doing, taking a letter of nun and invert it? What that means? Gives a sign? Yes. There are certain things you cannot explain by words. You have to give signs. And Torah is giving us signs to understand a very in-depth an idea of creation. All in this parasha. Parasha of this week, it consists of three parashiot, not one parashiot. Because it's a three-part. It's very important. The parasha of this week is a parasha that if you went somewhere and you lost which parasha you have to read for Shavua, for the Shabbat, this is the parasha you read. Because this parasha is inclusive of the whole work of Torah. It's the three-part of the Torah is within one parasha.
What's the name of the parasha?
Bahalotcha. Well, what is Bahalotcha give? That means give rise. Now what is giving rise to the Nerot, to the Ner? What is Ner? Nefesh v'ruach. How you give Aliyah, transcend your Nefesh and Ruach. Remember when you go to candle, light a candle? If you take the light to the candle, just 2 seconds and you take it off, you burn the what? The fitile. Right? You burn it. So what do? You keep the light, you keep the light, you make sure that it rises and it rises. That's exactly what the father and mother do. The father and mother, they don't bring a child and say, okay, you know what, out of here. You go and get on your own, do it, whatever you need to do. What the father and mother do? They make sure they grow. They have profession, they go to university, they cultivate their mind, they bring Torah into their life, then they are careful with when they get married, then they are careful. That is Bahalotcha et Nerot, bring about Neshama v'Ruach. The biggest mitzvah for a Jew is that you light somebody else's light. You kindle a light of someone else. Somebody else is in dark, you bring light to their life. That's the highest level of chesed. And that's the parasha of Bahalotcha. And we're going to learn what that means. What it is that is God gave four chushim, that means four senses only in my head. What are the four senses in my head? Two eyes, two ears, two holes in one called nose. That is how many already? And one whore, mouse, seven. How many branches menorah has?
Seven.
Menorah is nothing but the panim of Adam. And all that means the rosh of Adam, the four senses that are within Adam, are the secret of menorah. And we want to learn, what is this here? Why God put four senses into our head? And what that got to do with Shabbat? What that got to do with man? What that got to do with Kuma Adonai Vayafutsu Oivecha? What that got to do with everything that we study? Now, I want to go to first a detail, which is very important. What is Ohel HaMalchut? That means the yoke of God. What is yoke of God? What is this instrument that you put on a cow or on a donkey in order to control the donkey or the cow? It's called yoke. It's a heavy wood that you put on the neck in order to control the animal. which direction to go, how fast to go, how slow to go. That's called yoke. Now, when we, every time we want to say Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, prior to say Shema Yisrael, we accept the yoke of Malchut, that means the kingdom of Hashem. What that means? I accept His Torah. That means I accept that His Torah to be implemented in my life word by word. Now, what that means? That means I will do all the mitzvot and the things and the rules that God gives in the Torah. I want to bring it into my life. Why? Why? Why would I like to do that? Why would I do that? Because two things, two energy. I have Yirat Hashem. I have come to this world and I have realized that without God, I cannot run my affair. That brings me Yirat Hashem. Number two, modesty. Because as soon as I say I, God says adios, because wants me to have the I. If God sticks around, I cannot make any choices. So as soon as I bring the word I, God leaves me. I conceal myself from God. That's what we discussed last week. I can conceal myself from God by saying I. God has given us the power by simply saying I, God leaves me. Now, how can I connect to my God and not conceal myself? It's only one. To cancel out, to betool the I. That means I shouldn't be alive. Can I cancel myself? No. We said the secret is to be anav. Now what is anav? I want to go one by one. The first one is anav is must have shame. If you don't feel shame, that means if you do something wrong, if you do beyond norm, if you cause doing something that you know is not right, you know it's not right, you know it's not acceptable by the Torah, you do it and you don't feel shame, you no way can reach anavut. You cannot become anav. You cannot become modest. So that's why to have shame, decency, bashfulness, to be coy. I found the words in order to explain what it is modesty. We say modesty is good, but insincerely we don't know the adjectives that define the name modest. Now, after modesty, after you have shame, decency, and bashfulness, and you are coy, then you can step into modesty. But when you become modesty, you got to have chastity and purity. If there is no purity in you, if you're not pure, if your eyes is not pure, if your ears are not pure, if your mouth is not pure, if your heart is not pure, if you don't have a good heart, how are you going to become modest? Whom are you fooling? Irrelevant of God. Leave God aside out of it for a second. But this, the whole purpose of me bringing the Torah is you want this Torah, you want the energy, you want to do what you want to do, you want to be in control of your life and get rid of all these mishaps and misfortunes and all these hurdles that you have in your life, all these problems that you have to tackle, is to bring the Torah. Because when you go to the way of Torah, not that your life is going to be, no, still sheshed yamim ta'avod. Still you got to work like Eved. But I'm going to tell you where you can get the oneg, where you can get the pleasure. That the pleasure itself becomes a mitzvah. Where do you know that the pleasure itself is a mitzvah? That I enjoy, and God says, I love the way you're enjoying it. You're doing exactly a mitzvah that I want you to do. Is to enjoy it every Shabbat. Every Shabbat, v'kara Shabbat, oneg. That means the mitzvah is not only to eat. That's not the mitzvah. It's what you eat and what you do you should enjoy. And if you don't enjoy, it's not acceptable. It's not, you haven't done the mitzvah. If you come to Shabbat and there is no pleasure, there is no ta'am, what is ta'am? Give me a word for ta'am. You don't taste the pleasure. You don't taste the pleasure. You don't feel it with your heart. You haven't done a mitzvah. So don't keep on coming to Shabbat. I say, God, you don't keep a track. I've been keeping Shabbat for years and what happened? Nothing. And nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen if you don't make pleasure out of Shabbat. That's the secret of Shabbat. So how can I make a pleasure Shabbat? I'm running ahead of myself. How can I enjoy something? If I have everyday steaks, if I have everyday sex, the best sex in the world, after a while becomes what? The Tuesday is going to be like a Wednesday, and the Wednesday is going to be like a Thursday, and the Friday is going to be... I haven't experienced that one yet.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Oh, hold on. Questions. Yeah, no. I knew tonight I'm going to go to...
Take a man handicap, really.
Okay. When you say really, I accept you because that's through experience that I accept that.
It gets routine. It becomes routine.
But don't worry, this is the bottom line. This is the bottom line. We're going to recognize what we are. Come back to me, come back. Now, so after the shame and modesty and chastity and purity. Now chastity is important of being an Allah. You told me to put a wig, to cover my head, to wear dress that is appropriate, to present myself, to show myself, not only to a person that is not my husband, including to my husband. Just to have shame. Just to have chastity, purity. That's modesty. And then comes another aspect of anava, is to be submissive. If I am not submissive, where am I modest? If I am kashe oref, stubborn, how can I become anav? So if there is an aspect of kashe oref, stubbornness within me, cannot taste modesty what it is. Oh, it's a beautiful word. I'm trying my best to become modest. What you trying? What you doing? Do you have any shame? Do you have any chastity? Do you have any modesty? Do you keep yourself pure? Do you really submit to a rule and discipline? Do you have a discipline in your life? Do you have principles that you go by? Or is your daily principles that you set in the morning? What principles do you live by? Oh, what your logic tells you, I want you to... It's important that how our logic dictates what it is good for me. I know this is good for you. But this is good for me. Who says so? I say so. And that's the principles I live with. So it goes further. Then when you become submissive, then you become humble and respectful. And we read, and this Shabbat we read, that is a rule of thumb in Judaism. Anybody over 70 years old, you get up in front of him. Rule. If he's older than you, give him respect. Irrelevant whether he's a PhD from MIT or no PhD, didn't finish even the high school. He's older, you respect him. If you know how to respect, if you don't give respect even to a child, because if you want to become an av, even a child you respect. As a matter of fact, you have to show how to respect right to the child. Start with the child. The child doesn't tell you shalom. You say so many times shalom till he learns to say shalom. Some people, some kids, they come home, hi, and they go to their room, tap, they close the door. Now, what is this? What kind of respect it is? Far from modest. And the same child only changed outside. The same kid is still within us. Still we don't have the meaning of respect. We don't understand it. If somebody knows more Torah than I do, I gotta respect him. Even if he is younger than me. Amen. Now, after there is disrespectfulness, the humbleness, then becomes humility, and after the humility there is omission. Now what is omission? It's the I is gone already. Now I am a state of anava. And God can deal with me in this state, as God dealt with Moshe. Called him Ish Anav Bebeiti. It is in all my household. Moshe is the concept of Anava. Ish Anav. For that, the totality of Torah was given to Moshe. Okay. Now, I see young people here. Baruch Hashem. Are there nights that you guys light a candle? I'm not talking about candle of Shabbat. Just candles. Yeah. Who likes to light candles? When you light candles, what happens? Why do you light a candle?
Romance is tough.
Is the gentleman correct? Yes. It brings a humble, quiet, nice relaxation. It really brings a humble energy. Right. Energy of anava. You cannot start candle and start World War III. Though sometimes the egos, they run away with us, and we put 50,000 candles, in 2 seconds the fire is up and we fight. But usually candle brings the calmness, the humility, the down-to-earthness, and usually through this atmosphere, love arises. Feeling of love and unity arises. If we look at the parasha of Pahalotcha, and I really want to see the day that this class, prior coming to the class, studies and reads portion of the Torah, so we're familiar more with the concept that we talk. If we go right at the beginning, the first sentence, Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe lemor. Oh, what is lemor? Now, emor. What is lemor? To say? Is this saying is not verb by itself? Why do you need the lamed before? That's number one. So we see in regards of God telling Moshe, Lemor, Daber el Aharon, Ve'amarta alav, Bahalotcha et Nerot, following the words, that means give aliyah, Bahalotcha. I don't go just put the light. Aharon, Ata ohev shalom, rodev shalom. You are the concept of shalom. You are the concept of godliness. Your duty is to ohev shalom, rodev shalom, bring completeness. What that means? You know what? You will be the cause of bringing every neshama of Israel and in light, every neshama of Israel. Now what is, behalotcha et nerot. And what is ner stands for? Nun stands for nefesh, resh stands for ruach. Aaron, I give you the duty. Kohen, I give you a duty. Give rise to this nefesh and a ruach. We studied last year that the Kohen in Torah represents the aspect of the neshama of Jew. Ruach represents by Levi. Israel represents the nefesh of Yehudi. So therefore, Kohen is the neshama. God is talking to the neshama. Neshama, do everything in your power to give rise to this nefesh and to this ruach. To the extent can arise and transcend bahalotcha, to rise, to stand in front of my menorah, panim bepanim. And it says, listening, el mul penei ha-menorah, to stand in front of my menorah, that nefesh, that neshama, to come to in front of me, as a tzaddik, ve-ya'iru shev'at ha-nerot, ya'iru, is the ya'iru is present? Is past? Future. What that means, why he's talking in future? It means that there, to do this, to give aliyah to the nefesh and ruach, you have to go through a process of a lot of cleansing to reach that state of aliyah, that neshama can go in front to Kodesh Kodashim, in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the Kodesh Kodashim above, and light the candles. Now, last week, chapter 6, Pasuk 23, when God gave the Kohen the authority and the capability to give Brachat Kohanim to Bnei Israel. That means Neshama to bring Bracha for Israel. And we said Bracha is Barko, is that energy to be able to do all the mitzvot, the tikkun. If I don't have a bracha, I cannot do my tikkun. I cannot bring myself to completeness. I need to get the bracha. That bracha comes from who? From the Kohen, from the Neshama. Neshama will only can get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu if it becomes a tzaddik. Now we want to understand what is a tzaddik. And because God wanted us to understand what is this tzaddik that I identify with it, connect to it, look at it and learn from it, He created the menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu had three problems. With all the mitzvot of Hashem, three problems, he couldn't do it on his own and couldn't understand it. He needed Hashem to help him. When he went to Shamayim, to Marom, God did the menorah. He says, you know, you do this menorah like this, the flowers like this, the height like this, the width like this, that many branches. This is how you do. Moshele, did you get the idea? Moshe said, yes. He says, you know how to make it? He says, yes. He says, okay, go and make the menorah. Moshe comes down, talks to Betel El, talks to everybody. He says, I don't remember how God told me to make it. I don't know how God told me to make it. So Hashem said, you know what? You bring the gold. You bring it into the flour. I'll bring the menorah out of the fire. Mem of menorah stands Mem of Moshe. Shin of Moshe, the difficulty Moshe had with Shekalim. He didn't understand what is to give chatzi shekel. So he had to go back to Hashem to explain, to get explanation. Hey of Moshe is hachodesh hazeh. He didn't understand what is the first month of the year. Hachodesh hazeh lachem. What that mitzvah really meant. The magnitude of that mitzvah. That's written on the name of Moshe. But now coming back to the menorah. So Hashem said, look, make this menorah, and this menorah is the Kohen, is the Tzaddik. This menorah is what you're going to look at and you're going to learn from this menorah. He says, what is this menorah? We're going to look at the concept of it. If we go back, and I wanted to go back to part that I didn't finish. If we go to Naso, chapter 6, Pasuk 23, Daber el Ahalon ve el Banav, again, Lemor. Now, God gave us a head. There is no action starts from us unless first we use our head. Sof ma'aseh b'machshava techila. That means first I have to correct my machshava. Everything starts with thinking. Now, how this process of thinking goes? God has put in our head four of our senses. Sense of ayin is to look. Sense of shmia is to listen. Sense of reach, recha, is to smell. And sense of dibur in mouth. Four senses. All are in head. The day the Adam made a sin, brought in everything good and bad. Good and bad. There is nothing in the world that doesn't have good and bad. And this brings me to the question, if God brought everything in everything good and bad, envy is good or bad? Envy. Is it good or bad?
It's supposed to be bad.
But there is nothing in the world that doesn't have goodness either. Envy is good, could be good too. Why?
The Ten Commandments said don't be envious.
No, it says don't be jealous. And then, and second is don't, what is the difference between to be envy and jealous? What's the difference between jealousy and envy? Jealousy, there is nothing that is only bad. Everything has bad and good. Is the Rasha has something good in him? Yeah, but it's concealed. The guy is not allowing the good to come out. Allows only the bad to come out. That's the Rasha. But what's the envy is good? Is it? And yet it can be very constructive. If you look at a good student in university and you really want to be the best and you look at someone that knows more than you, what are you going to do? What caused you to be like them? Envy. So envy can be good. Now, if I look at tzaddik and I find a tzaddik and I know this is tzaddik, and I know this is a characteristic of a tzaddik, and I want to be like that tzaddik, until I don't have that feeling of envy, until I don't want to be like him or better than him, I can't do it. So it's a feeling. Not that why this guy has it. Jealousy is the thing that this guy has, why he has it, and I want to have it. But envy is that I want to be like him. That's envy. Or even better than him. It's not that I want what he has, but I want to be better. That's envy. So envy is good. And God comes and he gives me, says, okay, now you understood what envy. He says, I gave you four senses of eyes and ears and nose and mouth that are in your head. And since Adam made a sin, the ra, the bad, was mixed in everything, including the eye, the light that comes from an eye, from the eye. The light comes, oznaim, ears, chotem, reach, ope, is dibur, is the talk that comes out of my mouth. In all the things, there is good and bad. Now, let's go back to the enaim and ears. We know that in Bereshit, when Chava was in the Gan Eden with Adam, snake goes, the Nachash goes to who? To Chava. And what tells to Chava? He says, look how beautiful the tree is. And the Torah says, V'chava istakel, V'ra'atov be'eno le'ma'achal. That means he saw it and he said, wow, it's good. And what she gave his ears to, not to mitzvah of God, to the Nachash. So immediately Nachash affected his ears and his eyes. That energy that caused death, which is the Nachash, and created separation between Adam and God, and disturbed and brought Ra, that means bad, into the power of listening, Shmia, and the power of looking, is called Lelit. That's the Nukva of Satan. It's the Nukva of Satan, called Lelit. Adam, the first Zivug, the first sex that Adam had, wasn't with Chava, was with Lalit. She enticed him. She fooled him. She lied to him. She caused him to do something that separated him from his God. By disturbing for him not to see the truth and not to hear the truth. There is an energy in our eyes that lies to us. Exactly same way the Nachash distorted the power of looking and hearing of Chava. Exactly the way the Torah says. That energy called Lelit. It has a name. Now there is another energy that distorts the Chotem. That means the sense of smelling. The Zohar HaKadosh says there was a tzaddik that would smell a person that would walk into the room and would recognize this person has said Shema Yisrael or did not say Shema Yisrael. Smells comes out of a human being depending of what he does and what he eats. Are we what we eat? It does affect, if I keep on eating pig, is the smell of pig going to come out of me? Beyond shadow of a doubt. If I eat stinky food, I'm going to stink. It's very simple. And if I do action of Kedusha, Kedusha comes out of me. If I am anav, the humbleness comes out of me. If I do good work, goodness comes out of me. But if I am Rasha, if I am a thief, when you are sensitive, you can essentially smell a person if this person is good or bad. Sometimes, when we are in control of our senses, when somebody gets close to us, without realizing, we feel the energy is not good. Most of this energy we recognize through smell. Now, unfortunately, the smell has a klipa that got distorted as well. That means Ra entered into a smell too. Edom, which starts with Aleph, is the klipa that controls my nose. And who is Edom? Esav. Esav is in control of the sense of smelling. That's why the Sefer of Zohar says, at the time of Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, where is Esav? What happens to Esav? Finish, halas. There's no more Esav. Esav is going to get judged and it's going to be finished. So therefore, Mashiach comes, he says, he can smell who is tzaddik and who is not tzaddik. As per smell. The smell, the person that goes the way of righteousness, will have the smell that the Mashiach will recognize this person is a tzaddik. And that's the klipah of Edom. Achelet is the klipah of mouth, and that's where we have a Lashon Hara. God gave us 32 teeth equal to Lamed Bet Lev Netivot Chochma in order how to close my mouth. On top of it, gave two more lips how to shut my mouth and not say gibberish. How much words do we use that is total waste during the day? How much we talk nonsense? How many times do you see a person, being a woman, usually women? And there is a reason for it. There is a reason. They cannot sit quiet together for half an hour. It just doesn't happen. They got to say something. And if they don't have a subject, men do it too. They find a subject, even if it's a ridiculous subject. And if they don't have a subject to talk about, they're going to say a joke. Now, have you heard the last joke? Latest joke? And usually in joke there is vulgarity. And if there is vulgarity, there is no purity, there is no humbleness, there is no humility. Forget, it's done. Now, we're going to recognize that we have here the light of eye, the light of ozen, that means ozen, chotem, peh. All these lights are totally have kilkul, pagam in it. They have ra in it, badness in it. There is a klipa of badness. How far my voice will go? Up till end of this building. How far the smell goes? Maybe a little bit more than the building. How far my ears can hear? A little bit more. How far my eyes can see? As far as the stars. So we see that all these three energies have degree of capability. The strongest one is our eyes. That's why in the Shema Yisrael it says, Lo taturu, don't go after your eyes. Why? Because your eye sees and your heart, Chomed, your heart is going to desire. And since there is what you see, there is bad in it, most probably your heart going to have affinity toward the bad and is going to get approached to a bad. Now, I want you to follow. Here comes these four klipot. That Lamed Aleph Mem Resh is Lemor. Hashem is telling me that in order for me to receive the bracha of Kohanim from my neshama, to connect to my neshama, to connect to a tzaddik which is within me, the tzaddik is not the concept outside of my reach. It's my neshama, it's my kohen. In order to get the bracha, in order to be able to bahalotcha et nerot, to transcend. He said, you know what is this menorah? It's two of your eyes, two of your ears, two of your nose and your mouth. The seven holes that it is in here. You gotta cleanse these four energies, four lights. Cleanse them. How do I cleanse my eyes? How do I cleanse my ears? Did anybody, all of you have gone to university, thanks God. Anyone. Did you have any lessons to teach you how to look? Did they teach you how to listen? Did they teach you how to talk? They said talk. But to some degree they talk. Did they teach us how to smell? Now Torah is teaching you. And this is how it's telling us. He says, listen, there is this four energies that you have to cleanse. Why? Because these four energies, this four energy source that is in your heart is going to produce, eliminate, late pashet, it mit pashet, into your goof, into your body. This is in the Rosh. It's going to come to your goof, two energies. Produces two energy. What you see, what you hear, what you smell, and what you say is going to produce two energy in your body. And what are these two energy? Ta'am. And what is ta'am? Taste. Until I don't put something into my mouth, into my body from my mouth, I don't acquire tam. Now, if I eat something and is tam, his taste is good, what about my body is going to ask? More. And what is the name of this city that says more? Pitom. Pitom is pay of tehom. That means is a pay that doesn't have end. The more you give, the more he wants. He says, just give it to me. Give it to me. That's the Pitom. That's the city that the Jews created in Egypt. Pitom, Varam says. Now, when you eat, and it's good taste, do you enjoy? And then you become full. What's next? What's next? Always after the time when your stomach is full, the next one is Hamishush. And what is Mishush? Touching. Now, what is the highest level of touching, pleasure in touching? Sex. You take touching out, no feelings, there's no sex. The ultimate touching is sex.
How do you go from eating to touching?
First the stomach, then you go more below. You move more earthy, more materialistic. Now pleasure, more pleasure. First pleasure is the stomach. And a hungry stomach, hungry belly. You don't go after sex. Follow. So these four energies that are in my head are the reason and the cause to produce two very important aspects of my life. Is to have a good taste out of my life and sex. Biggest, highest pleasure of my life. Is there any other pleasure anywhere else? Really, the man that says, look, I'm not touchy-touchy, only looky-looky, he really means it? Or he goes to looky-looky wishing for touchy-touchy too? I want you to be honest. Because it's not matter of a man, it's the woman too. That's why modesty is so important. That's why purity is important. Because if you're or ozen, or enaim, or chotem, peh, if these four elements are dirty, the ta'am that you're going to get is going to be dirty. And the sex that you're going to have as well is going to be dirty. I know some people are going to say the more the sex dirtier, the better it is. There are some people like this, but not a Jew. Not a Jew because a Jew wants to become an av. Because a Jew wants to have chastity. A Jew must have shame. A Jew wants to become modest. And if does not control these four aspects, that's why he says, Jew, you know what kind of oil you put in your menorah? Zeit. Shemen Zeit. Olive oil. Pure. Do you know how they get the first cold press olive oil? You know how they get the oil? You know how they get the fruit of olives? How many years you have to wait for a fruit of olive? Anybody has an idea? 7 years before the tree gives you fruit. And when you collect the fruit, what do? It's very bitter. You have to put it under the stone and literally crush it. And the oil that comes out of it, that first cold pure oil, that's all tzalul v'zach that you put. And now, how do you write fitile? Everybody in Hebrew knows fitile. Same fitila, same letters of tefila. How do you roll your tefila? How tight you are. Because the way you put your tefila, the way you put the oil into your menorah, into your eyes, into your ears, into your mouth, into your nose, as much as you care to be pure eyes, pure ear. He says, what's the idea of me having all these pure ideas, pure head, pure mouth, pure eyes. He says, Ba'orot enayim im yiskeh lekadesh mer'ot kedusha bilvad yiskeh le'or haganus shebo ro'im ha-tzadikim misof ha'olam ad ha-sof ha'olam. Which means, if you really capable to make what you look at is kadosh. What you put your eyes on. Look. Beautiful girl goes in the street. And there is a lot of revealing things. I can't help it. There is a temptation. How kadosh you are. A lady is sitting vulnerable. How much you really look? How much you looking at your eyes? Somebody has a richness, a house, a beautiful house. You go to the house, you are invited, and you look around. What kind of an eye you are looking at the persons? How do you look at the thing that the other person has? The beautiful eyes, good eyes, eyes of bracha or eyes of jealousy. Ein hara or ein tov. So he says, so therefore, you got to have an eye that looks at something that is kadosh. And if I go and make my eyes kadosh, there is an if, I can see from the beginning of the world to the end of the world. What that means? Anything I do, I can see its future. I am doing something, I know what the future is going to be. Because I see the future. The secret of it is to cleanse my eyes. Cleanse my eyes. I want an eye of a tzaddik. I am Amon. I am the righteous. I am the holder of humility and modesty. I want to be. He says, in the future. So that means I have to go through a process. And he comes, Ba'orot ha'oznayim, the lights that goes and gives energy to my ears. Im yizkeh lekadesh b'mashma'ut kedushot u'divrei Torah, yizkeh lishmoa bo keruzei mala. If you really make your ears, not to sit down and listen to gibberish, not to listen to things that absolutely doesn't do you no good in your life, waste of your ears. Are you entitled to listen what's God is, what commandment, what announcement God has in Shammai? But if you cleanse your ears, and you give your ears to think and to listen to Devarim Kedoshim, to things that are good for your future and for your children and for Knesset Israel. That means you bring the Torah and Shomea Torah, Shomea good things. You listen to good things. What's the result is going to be? That you will have a ear that will listen what God commands, what announcement God is giving in Shammai. Reality, you know what the rulership is. או באורות החותם, אם יזכה לקדשם, יכול להכיר במהות האדם הנצב לפניו כמו מעשי היניקה. If you keep this nose clean, I am always wondered why they say in English, keep your nose clean. Why? But it means keep your nose in clean. Do we have in English such a statement? Yes, we do. Keep your nose clean. For this reason. Because if you don't keep your nose clean, how can I get my nose dirty?
Oh, it means something else.
So tell me what it means.
It means mind your own business. Or you see something right, don't blame people doing something wrong.
Well, that's not keep the nose clean.
Stay out of trouble.
Stay out of trouble. What kind of a trouble? What do you mean stay out of trouble? Not really. Where do I go and get bad smell? Where do I have bad smell? Really, where do I have bad smells? Dirty places. Why some place is called dirty? Why dirty? Dirty in what sense? Dirty means a place that there is no godliness. That's dirty. Don't smell something that is not godly. As a matter of fact, it goes to extend. You want to smell a flower? Whose permission you are smelling? Whose are you smelling? If you want to get the goodness of this flower, you say the bracha. You say the bracha, then you get the goodness. Otherwise, you're going to get the good and bad. So therefore, you are putting your nose in something that's not good for you. So you make sure that whatever goes to your this, any smell goes. Lately, the civilization brought some other things for us to sneak it up our nose. And we sneak it up our nose. And what's the result? Oh, we get high, really good high. I just put a little bit powder up my nose. What that causes? We know what's the end of it. It's flying for free. And flying for free costs a lot of money. At first you don't pay, but later on you pay with interest. So he says, if you abuse your nose and the power of your reach, you abuse, very simple. You'll stand in front of the Rasha and you wouldn't know it, this is the Rasha. But if you clean, you keep your nose clean, you stand in front of someone, you immediately realize this person, what is his essence made of? Now, and באורות הפעים יזכה לקדש בדברי קדושה, יזכה שכל מה שיגיד או יגזור, יקיים הקדוש ברוך הוא. When you stop your mouth to say gibberish, and only your mouth will come out with the varim, with the words that are kadosh, holy, out of Torah, in the frame of Torah, then anything comes out of your mouth, any demand, exactly as Yeshua, God immediately will implement it. Now, that is very beautiful. So, therefore, God has given me and told me here, Be'alot Cha Et Nerot, is to say, look, I gave you a sense, the light for an eye, power of seeing, power of listening, power of smelling, and power of dibur. And you are called Adam. And that's why he says, take Adam, the power of an eye is Reiyah, take the power of Shmiah, Reicha, Vedibur, add it up. Becomes 1,118. Whenever Israel says, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, the highest level of Yichud, that means I connect to Hashem all the way to Ensof, to infinity, and I say, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, 1,118. Now I understand that God has given me those powers of seeing, hearing, smelling, and talking. As the Adam, which is the Kolel, for one purpose. Unification with God. The Kilipa that doesn't allow me to unite is this four Kilipa called Lemor. Now, how do I correct this Lemor? It says, number one, Shotrim veshoftim titnu lecha bechol sha'arecha. That means, how am I going to really control these eyes and these ears and this nose and this mouth? Shoftim. Find a judge. And find a policeman. A good FBI man. A person, a shoter that is capable. What is the shoter? Shoter is the officer that takes the rule of the court and implements it. You need to make two. One is a judge and one is a shoter. Shoftim veshotrim titnu lecha bechol sha'arecha. What is sha'ar? Gates. Now, what are those? The eyes are gates. The ears are gates. The nose are gates. The mouth is gates. Seven gates. Put on each gate a judge and a shoter, an officer to implement what the judge says. Now, who is the judge? Where can I find a judge that has discipline enough not to get to receive shochad. What is shochad? Money under the table. You know, I give you this money, let me do it today. Bribery?
Under the table.
Under the table. He says, find a judge that doesn't accept on the table. That means. That means how much you give him, he will tell you no. How much you are looking for that pleasure? Because if I cleanse, listen, gentlemen, ladies, you are getting married. You want to have children. And there is no blessing for a father and mother more than this, to see the children to succeed and to be good. You are ready to give everything you have. Everything. You give your life, you give your blood. The mother gives her blood. Literally takes her blood and make it milk and give it to the kid. That's her source of life. So the kid make it. That's how mother does. And the father does his best. So the future of the kid is sweet. It's the most painful thing to see your children are not successful. They're not going the right way. The seed of those children are put the night that you are having closeness with your wife and husband. That's the seed. That's the point. That's the whole future. And if you come to this situation, that means you come to Mishush. You come to Mishush. But these four energies of Ozen, Chotem, Peh are not cleansed. Impossible that this sex to be kadosh. It's going to pull the wrong energy. There is ra in it. That's the difference. The difference is my future. Now, what is this ta'am? It's the taste. If this four energy which is in the rosh, and they cause the production of taste in my body, they are the cause. When you buy food, you buy it with your eyes or not? Of course. But if the eye is cockeyed, so the taste is going to be cockeyed. Because the source of that taste is your eyes. Now imagine if you cleanse your eyes and you cleanse this. That's why when you come to Shabbat, if these four energies are not put in proper perspective, you never get the taste of Shabbat. And then you blame God and the Torah that the Shabbat is nonsense, is not really making it, I don't feel it. You gotta taste Shabbat. And in order for you to taste Shabbat, you need to correct the klipa of Lemor. How this klipa really get cleansed. When God sees how much effort, and that's the avodah, that's sheshed yamim ta'avod. God looks at you, see what kind of a shoter, that means an officer, and what kind of a judge you have put on your sharecha. How much effort you are doing to keep your eyes clean, your ears clean, your nose clean, and your mouth clean. How really this shoter is good? Is he vulnerable? Or really disciplined? You taught him enough Torah, he knows enough Torah and enough Gevurah to do it. When you come to Shabbat, the Bracha of Kohanim gets rid of this Klipa of Lemor. That's why in the Bracha of Kohanim it says, and this is Parashah of Naso, Daber el Aharon ve'el banav Lemor. Talk to them. Emphasize that the Kohanim are there to help the Jews, the Yehudim, the Bnei Israel, to be enlightened, to recognize that there is a klipa in their eyes and ears and nose and mouth that they have to cleanse in name of Lemor. Have to cleanse it. You have to be aware that these eyes fools you. These ears fools you. Do you go to Las Vegas? Mm-hmm. Do you see magic shows?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you see I saw it with my own eyes and I heard it with my own ears? Do you believe in what you see? Do you believe in what you hear? That's why he says hearing somebody else talking to you about somebody else is not necessarily a myth, even though that she says or he says, I heard it with my own ears. But you're repeating it, that's Lashon Hara. That's taking you away from Kedusha. And if your mouth is not Kadosh, whatever you put in your mouth is not going to be Kadosh. So therefore, the two energies that are going to be expressed in your body that have to be the highest. Usually, in America now, there is a famous, very important... Okay, you are 40 years old, 30 years old, they are using already Viagra. I mean, why do you need that? Because it's not making it anymore. Look how bad it's becoming. And if it is in the way of Kedusha, and if it is in a sincere love and sincerity between a husband and the wife, and the love is in purity, there is Kedusha to the end of the days. The Ahava is there in total, absolute goodness, without Viagra. And I am sorry that I am blunt, but it is enough for me to look at that now kids of 20 years old, 18 years old, because they want to have a better sex, they take Viagra. That shows where we are pushing it. That shows what are we doing with our life. We are going more and more in depths of darkness. And what is the result of all this? Because there is a klipa of lemor in our eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and our heart. Because all this is transferred to our heart, and our heart transfers the blood to every part of our body, so every part of body becomes a kilkul because of this klipa. And that's why the Chacham is telling us, Shoftim veshotrim titnu lecha bechol sharecha. Lomdim chachmeinu zichronam lebaracha titen lecha. Dahainu beguf, bekol sharecha. Elu sharei guf sod hamenorah. Teach the sod of menorah. Let to every aspect of you to be enlightened, to transcend, to come light, to come zarafet. Enaim oznaim afopet derech sha'arim elu. Chush hashimush, shehu koach hamakif, hamagia rov hamida' lemoach, va'alken b'sha'arim elu sarich lashim shotrim. Sarich lashim shotrim. And what is shoter? The officer that implements the law. And that is your willpower. That's why you need Shabbat. That's why you need to eat the man. That's why you need the Torah. That's why you need every help possible for you to recognize what a tzaddik is. To recognize what is a light and how to work with the light. We cannot fool the light. Say, you know what? I'm going to keep the Shabbat and I'm going to become a little bit... I mean, don't push the boat too much, but I accept the fact I'm going to become a nonchalant Beinoni. Have you seen a woman half pregnant? Never. Either you are or you're not. And the fact is, can I be half pregnant? I cannot be half Jew. The point is that every time I accept that the Torah to be in my life, the Torah is not only by words, the Torah is by action. I have to bring the mitzvot and the action of Torah in my life. Difficult, I don't need to do it all at once, but every week I do a little bit better. Now, The Rebbe comes to something very important. He says during the week 6 days, he says 6 days to avod. That means your avodah is to put shotrim veshoftim al kol sha'arecha, to put it at all the gates, and to do your best effort to do the best possible, including eating. As a matter of fact, do not eat for pleasure the whole week. I brought this example. I bring it for you too. Why most of the spiritual people are fat? Is that true or not? Most of spiritual people, that they go to the world of spirituality, they have a Baruch Hashem big belly and they are fat.
They
why?
Enjoy
huh?
They enjoy the meal.
Oh, absolutely, which is a mitzvah. But that mitzvah is for Shabbat. But when we come, as creatures of habit, we come to Shabbat, and we say the Torah says, Onek b'Shabbat. Eat! Not once, 3 times, and you know what? I'm going to give you an extra if you make a Seuda shel Melech David, Revi. That's the Seuda shel Melech. That means 4 times. And eat. Shulchan Aruch. And you sleep, and you get up, you eat. And even if you cannot eat, still you got to eat. And you know what? The mitzvah is not eating. It's to enjoy your eating. So the spiritual guy comes Shabbat, he says, this is a mitzvah, I'm going to sit down. He says the bracha, and moshallah, he sits down and eats. But he thinks that this is good to do it all the week. The Rebbe of Lubavitcher comes and says, this is a mistake. During the week, you have to eat as much to sustain your body only. Not for pleasure at all. Don't think about the pleasure of it at all. There is no pleasure. You don't have time. You are avid. What time you got to sit down to enjoy yourself? You are in a hurry all the time. You got to run. So eat with no pleasure. Sheshet Yamim, you do it like this. When you get to Shabbat, what happens? No, really, when a whole week, you really controlled yourself to eat as much that only your body needs, and not a iota more. What happens when I get to Shabbat? And Shabbat, I got to eat and enjoy the eating. Do I enjoy? If I didn't enjoy all the week, am I looking forward for Shabbat? When I get to Shabbat, do I get the feeling of Shabbat? But now if every day I eat the same food that I eat in Shabbat, same amount, and I do the same thing, is the Shabbat is going to be different than any other day? That's why it says, on Shabbat you eat, that's the time. And that's why Lail Shabbat, the power of Mishush, is very important. It's a mitzvah. Because it's not done for sake of pleasure. It's done for sake of Kedusha. And it's a mitzvah. And that's Godi. So it's not that the Torah tells me not to enjoy. But the Torah tells me how to get the real pleasure out of it. Not to get used to it. Because you get used to it, then you won't enjoy it. Then you won't know the taste of it. Then you don't know the time of it. If a person at 13 years old goes and have a sex and has with 5, 6, 10 partners, honestly, you want to tell me that when it reaches to the husband and gets married, she's going to enjoy it really to the fullest? No way. And you want to tell me that you want to have a partner that when you are in bed and you are getting close, ultimate closeness, and the mind is not going to travel. You know, once in a time I had a girlfriend or boyfriend, and she was like that or he was like that. And it was more fun. Is that good? That is discipline? That is goodness? To betray your partner while you are in bed with him? And you can't help it. Why you cannot help it? Because you didn't think that, look, I gotta have an eye, cleanse eye. I have an ear. I have a nose that I want to keep clean. Why? Because my body, I want to be clean. Those are reality. We have to look at it. unfortunately, it hurts. And it comes a person and says, you know, I didn't know any better. I thought it's there for me to jump on it and use it and enjoy it. It's such a good pleasure. Sex is the ultimate pleasure in the world. So I said, it's there, why not to use it? If I don't use it, I lose it. So I better use it. I justify it. So I go and use it and use it. I abuse it and I lose it. And I really use it. Then I really need a Viagra to put behind it. And that's not any more sex. There is no pleasure in it anymore. There is a tremendous amount of worriness and sickness might come after it. Who knows? They told us, take this vitamin, 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 then after 20, 30 years, no, 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 no. It's a mistake. Don't take it anymore. Who knows? If you can do it naturally and if you can do it in a goodness, why do you want to go and find it and destroy something good? That pleasure has to go all the way till 120 years. Why you want to kill it? So a person comes and says, look, I didn't know better. I really missed the boat. I did everything wrong that I did. That person is at the most luckiest point of his life. If a person realizes that, look, I made a mistake. The person that comes to a point and says, I made a mistake, that's why God created Shabbat. The word Teshuvah, that means Teshuv Hey, is the word of Shabbat. Shabbat is the time that you unite and recognize that, look, I did recognize there is a mistake in my action, in my discipline. I didn't have a good shoter, I didn't have a good office, I didn't have a good discipline. Did I miss the whole boat? The moment that you recognize that you went wrong, you can correct not only all the mistakes that you made in the past, you can make it zuchut just by accepting the fact that that was wrong. I am going to change. That by itself, he says, where the Baal Teshuvah stands, a tzaddik cannot stand. When you recognize your actions, your ways, the way you look, the way you heard, the way you smelled, was not good. We are different. We are Jews. We have Torah. We have discipline. We cannot ignore it. We cannot ignore it. The power of ignorance is taken away from us. We have to accept it, and we have to obey it, and we have to implement it. And there is a whole lot of beauty and pleasure out of it. Trust me, none of those things is not given to take pleasure from a man. Just the opposite, to extend the pleasure. Because God doesn't want you to become holy by pain and fear. No. God wants you to absolutely appreciate, feel it, the taste of Kedusha. God doesn't want you to taste Him in the other world. God wants you to taste God here, in this world. And that's why He has given us Torah. Question. Yes, please. None. May God help them. May God open their eyes. I would pray for them because there is a good Jewish soul in them. They haven't recognized it. The Kilipah has taken over. The Kilipah only showed them the way that they think. And they are Kohen. Same thing is a Levi and same thing is Israel. Doesn't make any difference. He's a Kohen. He's a Neshama of a Jew that has a responsibility that hasn't recognized his responsibility. I don't belittle him. And I don't even feel sorry for him. I only pray for him that may God open his eyes. That's important. That's why he says kindling the light of someone else. You see, you know that, Kohen? If you are able to open their eyes and see the light, open the light for them. If you can, that's, you have put the menorah.
Life doesn't go the way they want it to go. I say,
I told you. If you don't clean these four energies, if you have a heart of a stone and not heart of a tov that we discussed 4 weeks ago, there is no way you will know what the taste of goodness of God is. You wait and wait and wait and say, here it is, one Shabbat, two Shabbat, one mitzvah, two mitzvah, three mitzvah. I gave up this, I put kippah, I put tzitzit, I put tefillin, I keep Shabbat, I keep kosher. What's the difference? No difference. I don't feel any difference. Don't you say? Million of the Jews says today, I don't feel any difference. But when I go to a good restaurant, oh boy, do I know the difference. It tastes good. It tastes good. You know, in all these things, everything illegal tastes good. Why? Because this tells you, yes, it tastes good. Take anything illegal. Take the things that the Torah says don't eat. You know how lamb chop or, pig chop? Pork chop. How, I haven't had it, really. This one, by chance, I haven't had it. But they are telling me it's really delicious. I know caviar. I know lobster. So it's delicious. So I said, what are you talking about? You know how delicious it is? God gave it and you don't want me to eat it? Why? Why? What's the logic to it? Who tells me that? The wrong mouth. The mouth that is Kilipa says it's good. Don't listen. God wants... You know, if you eat, you're going to become like God. Eat it. That's what the Nachash told Chava.
I
want to
thank you because you helped me understand many things tonight. I really want to thank you. But you mentioned King David.
Sauda Revit.
King David. Made a lot of mistakes.
A lot. And he the highest
fell
level.
Fell into lust constantly.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
So apparently the most important thing for God when it comes to King David was the fact that God, that David trusted God. And there was greatness in David like there's greatness in every one of us.
What was the end result of David? You see, David as a young boy, 16, 17, a David after 40 years old, and a David after 60 years old.
Oh, he was giving a woman when he was at the end of his life.
Oh, yeah, to keep him warm. I understand. Those are the good stories. Those are the juicy stories. Yes, I understand. But what's the concept of David? David grow up. That's what he wants to show, that a melech, you can become a king not overnight. What is the concept of melech we discussed? Is when melech, mem, moach, lamed, lev, kaved. If your mind controls your heart and your heart controls your liver, you are melech. David reached that stage. David killed his best soldier for sake of lust. His eyes saw. And you know what? He had the Ruach HaKodesh. He knew that she is, Bathsheba is his. It is his! He sat down to himself. He says, God, you know this is my soulmate. And I cannot see. And he said, I cannot see my soulmate to go in bed and with another person. He made a mistake. But he made a teshuva.
He made a teshuva?
Oh, yes.
He did.
Oh, yes. But read the whole Tehillim. So when he made the teshuva, is it for everything he did, God didn't tell him any payment? No payment?
No way.
Oh, he paid. What was his payment?
Well, that he would not be building the
Gush. Azak Baruch. He bought the property. He bought even the last nail necessary to do the Beit HaMikdash. But he didn't make it.
At the same time, I really believe that God focused on the fact that David trusted him. By that showed his greatness, which we all have. So what's important is our greatness, not the mistakes we make as human beings.
But recognizing our mistakes. God will not show favor to David. He would not call him Chai Vekayam. unless David recognized his mistakes. And he sat down and he wrote 150 Tehillim with the Kollel is 151 equal to Mikveh. Now what is Mikveh? It's cleansing. He cleansed himself through 150 Tehillim. Every Tehillim that he gathered from Moshe, from Adam, from himself, from Bnei Saf, every Tehillim to say his word with the sheer, loud, God, I made a mistake. I recognize your greatness and I know where is my folly. He recognized. Bezechut of that recognition, David Melech Chai VeKayam. He got the Shlomo. That's the Zechut. That's where we say, where the Baal Teshuvah stands, Tzaddik Lo Yechol La'amot. That's the secret. I accept with you. But it doesn't go without recognition of your mistakes. That's the discipline. That if you don't know what you did with your eyes was wrong, you have not changed. But it's not even enough to recognize that is you did wrong. You have to implement and put an officer, a disciplined officer, not to repeat it again. And in case you repeat it, you recognize your weakness. And you know there is a time, you know what's the most beautiful time for a person? A person to go on his knees. This is God, with the powers that I have, I'm not able to control it. I need you! He says, what is all this? What I need? All this energy, why do I need? To make one change in my nature. To make the Ratzon Lekabel to Ratzon Lashpia. That means, Ratzon of desire to receive for oneself alone. I convert my nature, that's my nature, that's in my nature, by changing those. I change my Ratzon, I change my will. From being selfish to being a cause. I look for another Jew, how I can help another Jew to recognize and see how he can make his life better. That is the ultimate of the work of a Kohen, which is a Tzaddik. A Kohen is Tzaddik. We're not talking about Kohen by name. We're defining a Kohen by action. Any question? Yes, please.
In sense of the Shulcha, how about if you talk good about someone? Is that still...
The good is always praising someone in honesty. That's correct. But in front of him. But then you praise someone in front, you're liable to do what? It's either or you make the person to have gava. So it's very, gava means to make him proud. So it's very, very important how we choose our words, where to say it, and when we to say it. It's extremely important. If you recognize it, if you bring it in the sense of a kedusha. If you express your feelings in the frame of kedusha, you have done good. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons that we discussed this lighting the candle of someone's, the candle being the neshama or the nefesh and the ruach of another Jew, is to help to continue this class. We cannot be wishy-washy in our work. To be wishy-washy doesn't pay. The discipline is that I make my business to go and listen. I'm not talking really to come to this class to listen to Torah. Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of chachamim in the city that they give good lectures. But find the discipline to regulate yourself to listen to the Torah. And not only that, make the effort to take a hand of a friend or another Jew and bring him to listen to Torah. You cannot imagine how much a mitzvah and help you do. You do the effort to enlighten and put the light of someone else. That's the highest, that's the whole secret of menorah. That you allow somebody else to open the light. I thank you very much. Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Later out. Shalom, later out.